Yo, it's your boy Michael Trioteo, checking in from the Ghetto Flower. Just wanted to give a quick shout out to all of those supporters out there who've been showing love to the Ghetto Flower Season 5. I promise this is the best season yet. And now, let's get into today's episode with a very, very special guest. Be sure to like and subscribe, and be sure to never miss your chance to wake up and smell the flowers. Because after all, we are all Ghetto Flowers. Yo, it's your boy Michael Trioteo, and I'm here with the Ghetto Flower Fresh Flowers podcast. You already know what it is. Got my main man Q in the building. What's good, broski?
Let's get it, bro. I'm excited.
Hell yeah. Very special episode today. I'm here with a very special guest, Ania J. What's
up? Hello, everyone. How are you doing?
Doing good. Welcome, welcome. So thank you for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
So yeah, how have you been? What's new in the world of Ania J? I know this is your first time here at the Ghetto Flower, so, you know, just want to give you a couple minutes to, you know, introduce yourself and let the people know what's up.
Okay, well, I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. My name is Ania J, a.k.a. The Pen Fairy. So, singer, songwriter, artist, R&B, a little bit of everything. Multi-instrumentalist. I play piano, play since I was like 5 years old. Play a little guitar. I fake know how to play, so it's like I make it seem like I do, but I really don't know that much for real. What else do I do? Produced a little bit, still working on that, like learning. So I still like do some things, like making loops, making beats on my own, and still like really like learn how to do it really, really well. So I can kind of like put out there a lot of collaborative stuff, working just on my craft, making new music. And that's pretty much what I do all the time.
That's what's up.
Outside things. So yeah.
So that's what's up. You seem like you're a well-rounded artist.
Yeah, I try my best.
I guess take us back. Like, when did, you know, you really start caring about, I guess, music? Was it something that was, you know, a part of your lifestyle growing up, your parents, your siblings?
Yeah.
How did you really, you know, fall in love with music?
Basically, it's a really long story. I try to summarize because I ramble a lot.
It's all good.
I been playing piano since I was like 5 years old. My family is like super musically inclined on both sides. So my mom's side of the family, they all singers. They all like the dad sings, so my granddad, he sings. They used to all kind of be in like groups and stuff like that. My dad's side, well, my mom used to be a gospel artist as well over time. So my dad's side, he my grandfather, he played guitar like back in the day. So he was like, he was born in the 50s, so like during that time he was like a lead guitarist. He played with like a lot of people, like Earth, Wind & Fire, Ramsey Lewis is who he kind of like traveled with, like things like that. He was in like a group and played with a lot of different people, like Jackson 5 types of stuff. So my dad, that's his son, he was like really, really good producer, Chicago back in the day, doing things like that. He also used to like rap, but they kind of like went on to different pathways. So then my dad still did like all types of music. I don't know. He just was like an engineer, producer, like rapper over time and different types of genres and areas. So that's kind of how like I was always born into music in a sense. So they were going to put me in something regardless. First child, you know, so I was always playing piano since I was 5. I used to be really shy. So like I wasn't singing until to the world. Until really like 2018, I'm not going to lie. It's when I finally started like trying to post something, be like, well, let me show my talents.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's when I got into, like, fully trying to pursue music in a sense. So,
okay.
I've always been there.
Like who were, like, your musical influences?
Musical influences?
Yeah.
100% always Brandy. Me and my mom, like, love her. So she always put me onto her. And that's somebody I always attached to. And I'll say I would definitely see myself being influenced by, especially, like, vocally and just, like, loving her. Also, since I really, like, enjoy, like, songwriting is really something that's really big with me since, like, I would say, like, 2013. I would say people that I aspire in a sense is, like, Seven Streeter, like, people that I love to see doing what I like to do, like, being an artist in songwriting and stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, Eric Bellinger, love what he does. And honestly, like, a newer person is, like, Nyjah Charles. I don't know if you know who that is.
Yeah,
but she like literally, she's like our age, and like she's written for like, her first song was Ring by Cardi B. She's done like, so many songs like Positions with Ariana Grande, Beyonce, like everybody, and just not even those people, but like Summer Walker too. Like, what's that song? Potential. She was even still like in the background, like singing and you like hear her voice and stuff, because she like wrote the song. So yeah, that's pretty much.
So like what gravitates you towards a song? Because, you know, you talk about, you know, the songwriting process. So, mm-hmm. like, what gravitates you personally, like, towards a song?
When you say that, do you mean to, like, someone else's song that's, like, already out?
Yeah.
Okay, I would say I like certain specific types of songs, I would say, or, like, something that generally gravitates me. Something that's definitely, like, minor. Like, I'm, like, a sad girl. Like, I love the sad girl types of music. So, like, if it's something like that where you just start having that face, we, like... This is hidden. Like, that's what's going to gravitate me, definitely.
I feel you. And that's what kind of, like, made you gravitate towards Brandy.
Mm-hmm. Very, like, emotional stuff that you, like, really feel. Not just, like, surface stuff. Unless it just has, like, a really good, like, groove and, like, beat to it or something.
I feel you.
Do you remember what that feeling was like writing your first song? And could you sort of talk us through that?
That's hard to remember because I've been, like, literally writing songs, even though they were, like, such on, like, a small scale. Since I was so young, my cousin and I, we used to, like, make this, like, girl group. We thought we were doing something. So we were, like, always just, like, when other people, like, you know, your cousin come over and, like, you playing and stuff.
Yeah.
We was writing songs all the time and trying to, like, sing, make different, like, covers and versions and stuff, doing, like, YouTube. Like, everything that people are doing, like, now and stuff, like, we was doing back when we was, like, eighth grade. Like, just, like, really wanted to do it. So I would say it was definitely something. The feeling was more so, like, probably a natural thing because it was something that you just, like, wanted to do because you loved to do it.
Yeah.
So I guess, like, as a child, fun, probably, and, like, free to, like, express yourself.
Yeah.
I feel you. Expression is, you know, definitely important. And, like, when you, like, go back and, like, think about, like, when you were younger, like, what, like, kind of, I would say, it's kind of, like, similar question, like, what gravitated you towards, like, this older sense of music, you know, like,
mm-hmm.
like, because when I was younger, like, I never, like, really, like, you know, thought of, like, why I like this, like, I just probably just thought, like, you know, my brother liked it, or my mom liked it, so, like, what?
I feel like ever since I was younger, I was never the person to, like, generally, like, older styles of music. It was just something, if it was specific songs that I liked that were older, that just kind of, like, clicked with me. So I would say still, like, the other answer I had, like, if it was something that was, like, in that type of, like, minor sense or just, like, with that type of expression, was something that I was just going to generally like, but not so, like, old school songs. Because when I was younger, I low-key never really liked the old, like, R&B 90s. So I was like, what is this? This is some mess. When I was a kid, I hated it.
So you talked about how, like, in 2018 you really started, like, putting yourself out there and, like, really showing your face. What were some of the, like, hurdles you had to, like, overcome to, like, you know, bolster up that courage to put yourself on Front Street and, like, show the world?
I had so many hurdles. Like, that's just a part of, like, the whole story of, like, me starting music, which is why I call it, like, my journey. Ever, like, since I've been posting stuff on, like, Instagram about, like, my first, like, song or, like, EP release, I was like, welcome to my music journey, blah, 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 because so many things were going on during that time. 2018 was when, like, my aunt passed away, someone that was really close to me. So she was a part of, like, that. And so just, like, that and experiencing you finally doing what you want to do. Like, she was at my first studio session, helped me with, like, my first actual, like, supposed to be first song. Because Forever wasn't my actual, like, first song I ever, like, tried to record.
Mm-hmm.
But during that time, hurdles, I would say, like, certain stuff was, like, things that you just don't know. You don't have, like, many resources. So, like, going places recording, working with engineers and people that are not actually, like, having your best interest or, like, taking your song, actually never giving it to you. Like, I never even got my actual song back other than, like, rough mixes or stuff like that. Different things that were hurdles. I would say I was a very shy person, so that was one of the main problems. Like, I wasn't really just shy overall, for real, other than when I was younger, but, like, being shy about the things that I actually, like, music in general, I was shy about my own, like, music, and finally singing and showing people and stuff. So, like, it was hard to just, like, post you actually singing something, show people you actually do music before you actually put a song out there, so it's not just so, like, random. So that seems so weird, but it was, like, gaining the confidence to actually, like, be confident into doing what you been doing for so long and not being judged about it. So just, like, having that, taking the imposter syndrome away, knowing that, like, you are actually good at what you do. So that was one of the biggest hurdles. I would also say just, like, resources too in general. Like, for a while, like, I didn't know people for real who, like, did certain stuff, like producers. Like, I wasn't able to, like, get beats or anything like that. It was like, how do you even get a beat? Well, let's go on YouTube. And now all of a sudden, you don't really know how to like work around things. So it was just really like resources and things like that that I didn't know.
No, that's a great point you brought up about like imposter syndrome. I feel like a lot of creators like kind of get stuck and are like hesitant to put themselves out there because they're you know, scared of what people may think, or maybe they feel like they're not ready. So it's always like, you know, interesting to hear people's sort of stories as to how they got over that hump.
And since people are watching this, I just feel like advice on that, which is so important since I've been through that, like, I would definitely say, like, what I told myself was, I don't want to let myself die and literally never do what I've, like, always wanted to do.
Yeah.
And, like, even me, like, I grew up in, like, a Christian-based household, and, like, I didn't want to dishonor God and, like, not utilize the talents and the gifts that he gave me just let them wither away, which is, I think, the word in the Bible for it. Mm-hmm. But I just didn't want to, like, do that, because then it's just, like, well, I'm going to die and be so pressed that I've never even, like, lived my life or tried and, like, at least failed trying. And who's to say that I even fail about it? Because look who we are now.
Exactly.
Doing cool stuff.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
So, yeah.
So, you know, that 2018, like, how did it feel to make that change? Because to me, like, you know, making that change is everything, you know? So how did it feel making that change?
It was scary because, like, I've never really, like, sung in front of people like that. Only saying, like, I used to play, like I was saying, I play piano. So I used to play with the youth at my church and stuff like that. But I was never really, like, singing in the choir. I sang Lee, like, one time at a Christmas not Christmas party, a Christmas, whatever it is. I can't think of the word, but a Christmas program at church.
Mm-hmm.
But how it felt, I would definitely say it was scary, like I just said. I had another word in my head. I can't think of it. But I literally lost my train of thought.
It's all good. But no, it's all good. Because, like, you know, making that transition, like, and I'm happy you did it. You know, it's definitely everything.
It is.
Definitely everything. But so, you know, you started in 2018, like, how was going through, you know, going to the pandemic, you know, from 2018 like, to 2020, like, how did your music change? Like, how was
going into that? I feel like, honestly, that was really a highlighting point for me. Like, I was in college during the time. Shout out to Mizzou. That's where I went for undergrad. I would definitely say that was when I started, like, my brand, the repertoire. So that was when I kind of took into the headspace of, well, let me kind of center all the things that I like to do and actually take them seriously and pursue those things. And there were so many things that I liked. So, like, the repertoire was kind of like a platform for me to express all my creativity and the things that I do and, like, leverage them. So I had, like, I started it off with, like, fashion because I wanted my own fashion brand. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And that was something so pivotal. I was able to get, like, a lot of press from, like, the Christian Science Monitor. Who We Are Now 2020 is actually a book about that coming out soon on Amazon March. And, like, other press and stuff about it or whatever, blah, blah, blah. And so then it was, like, that. So, like, the e-commerce retailing I had on there, like, me, like, doing, like, photo shoots and trying to, like, get into, like, modeling and stuff like that. What else was it on, like, music, even though I didn't get to fully, like, put anything out during that time. But it was really, the pandemic was just letting me be able to, like, sit in the house and really, like, plan things and generate what I wanted to do, be able to, like, come to terms with what I wanted to create and how I wanted to do it. So really, like, honing in on it to, like, when the pandemic is over and even while we're still in a pandemic, to get going on what I was trying to do.
I feel you. So did you drop any music before Planet J?
So I dropped the song, my first single, Forever, for the baddies. That was, I'm so sorry, that was before Planet J, but that was single was on Planet J. So I dropped that song in 2021. So,
Okay, cool. Yeah, because, you know, Planet J definitely is the one, I didn't even know it was your first EP.
Really?
So yeah, that's dope. And we've seen you at the Real One show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Igloo.
Yeah.
That was definitely fun.
Yeah.
That was my first show. Like, that was so fun.
Hell yeah. So talk about, I guess, leading up to Planet J. So this was, you know, post pandemic now.
Yeah.
What made you decide to say, you know, this is the time to put out a body of work to introduce yourself, you know?
I try to, like, create goals. Like, I was a business major in school, so, like, I'm always, like, trying to keep things organized, planned. How can I reach what I want to reach? So, like, I just get on my notes or I get in a Google Doc and I'm like, what do I want to do? Like, and at that time, First, my first goal was just to have a single because I wanted an EP overall. That was like my main goal in life somehow because it was like I was saying, like I had zero resources to begin with. Yeah. It was so hard to even just like simply get something like that was so big to me. So mm-hmm. I had to start smaller and was like, okay, that was a little difficult at the time to get so many songs. So I was like, let me just start off with this first single. So I would say post-pandemic, that was kind of really what it started out to be. That's kind of like opposite of the question, but it was more so like I had to create a goal to like get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you with Planet J, you talked about the single Forever that dropped. Mm-hmm. Like, what was the next single to come after that? And did you have the whole idea of calling it Planet J? Because yeah. the intro, kicks it off. So like, yeah. Did you always have that plan?
I didn't always have that, but it just fell together so perfectly because like I was saying, like it was like my musical journey in a sense, because this is like regardless of people like, oh, I'm trying to do music because I want to be the next blah blah blah, the next Beyonce, I'm trying to get this deal, I want to be signed here, like be the biggest thing ever. It's more so something like that I'm going to be doing till like the day I die, just simply because music is in me and it always will be, sure. And it's what I love to do. So it was just like, it's like the journey and finally letting other people be invited into my world. So that's what I put on like just like marketing stuff, like welcome to my world and things like that. So I had to find a way to encapsulate how it was pretty much about me. And that sounds really like vain in a sense, but it was really taking a step in like being serious about myself and like just, I don't know, growing. So that's really what it was about. So it just really fell together. Plus it was really cool to make like space. And I was this is really giving. And really a lot of the stuff that I was even saying in the songs were like simple things about like space or like mm-hmm. on this planet or something. Like, mm-hmm. so I was like, it's perfect. It was meant to be.
Yeah, throwing the words in there. But you start the track off with, the intro mm-hmm. and very atmospheric, and it goes into the single that you dropped before with Forever. So how did that single kind of come about?
Forever came about, so when I was telling y'all I could barely find beats, I had a first song, it was called Timeless. I put a snippet on Instagram before, but that ended up becoming like the beat got sold. That was when I didn't even know how to like work beats, blah, blah, blah from YouTube. So I had to let that song go. Had another song before that from 2018, but the Timeless was supposed to be my first song. And so then I finally got into it with somebody, finally, that I knew who actually like knew how to make beats and stuff like that. So finally, like the first producer person or friend that I've like generated my own network. Yeah, so he sent me these beats and I'm like, bro, you fire. This is really, really good. So I was just writing to it during that pandemic time when everybody was getting COVID and I was at school and I was just like really writing. I was like, yeah, this is the one. And I was really messing with it. So when I got back from Missouri, I was able to like record and stuff over breaks, and so I just like really worked on it, and that's when I was like, okay, I see how hard it is to get a full EP, I'm just work on this song, and if I can get this song, that's what's gonna be. And that's when I promised myself, like, no matter what, I'm gonna make sure that I make this happen. I'm gonna spend every single last dollar I got to getting this together. So that's kind of when I really like made that promise to like make sure that I don't give up on what I'm doing. So that's how it came about.
So Forever was the start.
Yeah.
I feel you. What song came after that? Do you remember like how it was recorded?
I think it might have been, I can't remember because that was probably like in 2021 when everything was like getting together, but I don't know, because some of the beats were like not all just my other producers, some were like YouTube beats and stuff, but it could have been Pain, because the same person, Easy, who made Forever, he made the Pain beat. So it's just like during that time, like outsourcing other beats and stuff like that. So that's probably how. Yeah.
So when you when you're welcoming people to your world, like, are you trying to show just every side of you? Like, what are you really trying to show? Like, I guess with this.
I would say I'm definitely trying to show like different aspects. So I would say the things that I like, the way like I like music, because it's like I don't think that the kind of music that I make fits generally like into a box of like other people and what they kind of think. It's more so like I want to do what I like and kind of put that out there. I would say like songwriting, I kind of feel like, I'm not going to lie, that little bridge in Pain, it was a little too good. And I just really wanted people to hear that, because I was like, tell me you're not thinking that this is some like real lyricism, because it was. I'm not going to toot my horn, but it was really giving. I'll say that. I didn't really get to add like my musical like productionary, I don't think that's a word, aspect. So that's kind of like less resources. We'll get there later when I get the space to which mm-hmm. I feel like I'm at now, where I'm probably able to incorporate things for like future projects. Mm-hmm. So that was more so just like introductory, showing people like, oh, you do have a nice voice, like you can put something else out that's decent enough with the low resource that you have. So like kind of, yeah.
Yeah, just playing off that, I feel you.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk about, too, there was only, like, one feature on the EP, mm-hmm. and you had Free J on there. I actually discovered Free J from a different artist, but what's your relationship like working with him, and, you know, what made him be the only feature on the project?
And did you perform that at the Real Ones or no?
I did, right?
Okay.
And I brought him up there because he's such a real one. My literal first, like, show was his show at Cole's, and so he let me come up there and do our song. So, like,
that
was
just... Show the love back. God.
Yeah, like, how could I not? That was just mm-hmm. too real. I would say we went to high school together, so we weren't even really, like, that close in high school, but once, like, you know, college passed that, and once I got into, like, music, like, we became closer and things like that, because we're, like, music buddies and things. So, I put him on there because honestly, I wanted this project to be like all about me, blah, blah, blah. Let me just do that, this, et cetera. But I was just like, this song would not be good if he was not on it. Like, it just really like clicked with me. Like, you know, you hear a song, you'd be like, this would be good if Drake was on it.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is going to be good if Free J on it. If you don't get on it, we're going to fight. So it's one of those. Plus, I was like, he's just such a cool, genuine person anyway. And so real, I was like, who better would it be to not be him?
For sure. Okay. Yeah. And he comes on there so clean. It's just it's such a clean verse.
He's so professional.
Yeah.
If anybody gets big off something, it has to be him. Like, he's been working so hard, like, been doing this for so long and really just good at what he does. Like, very inspiring. And that's somebody that, like, I really appreciated. Started music, too, like, mm-hmm. when I didn't know much. So it's just somebody that I could go to like, ask questions or just, like, look to for, like, how do you do stuff? Or what is something that, like, I could be doing better? Somebody that's actually at your best interest to, like, give you genuine feedback. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate that, definitely.
That's real. That's love, man. Thanks. Honestly. Because a lot, I don't know, I guess not a lot of people, but there are artists out there who are kind of, like, self-centered and, I'm not helping you. Like, why would I help you? You're taking out of mine, you know? So mm-hmm.
that's another thing, too. Like, I learned, like, you really can't be, like, not asking questions. You have to, like, put yourself out there and put your pride aside, or you will not level up. Like,
facts.
You have to learn how to, like, not take people's, like, copying their swag, but, like, taking, like, knowledge from other people and, like, stepping stones from them to, like, create mm-hmm. your own best thing, because you're never going to get nowhere by yourself or, like, build an empire all on your own. Like, mm-hmm. you literally can't. And I have to learn.
You need the success of others to be successful.
You definitely do.
For real.
For sure.
Real talk. And
you gotta open your mouth and ask.
Close mouths don't get fed.
They literally don't. And that's why people are always asking me, like, how did you do this and that? And it's just kind of like, I literally had to ask because I did not know.
Yeah, right. Figured it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
exactly. And it's crazy because like how did you get on the Real One show?
Shout out Ben. Shout out everyone at the Real Ones. Shout out Project Finals.
They the real ones. I would say at first I didn't even know Ben. So I have a mutual friend, like with Free J and everybody. We all kind of like knew each other from the past. He actually went to Mizzou too. His name's namesake. He introduced me to Ben at whose show was it? I think it was, I don't remember. Well, we were somewhere. He introduced me to Ben. And that's kind of how I started. So, like, building that network and creating that relation. And so we just were, like, cool over time and, like, you know, getting to know each other. And then they reached out to me. After I reached out to them, I was kind of like, if you guys, that's me putting myself out
See,
there once
why,
again.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
if you guys have a show coming up whenever and need some performers, let me know because I'm going to be one of the ones ready to do it. And they were like, we got one coming up. And I was like, put me on the line. All right.
So how was that? You know, that's your first time performing.
That was
I love
so
that all
fun.
These are first for you.
First love, hell, yeah.
Thank you. It was literally so, so fun. Like, I've gained so many new friends over the time. Mm-hmm. And so I got to literally perform with, like, one of my really good friends now, Sydney August. Like, she's mm-hmm. the best.
Shout out to
Sydney. Yeah, like, that was so, so fun. Like, I just really, that whole experience was, like, I don't even have a word for it. Like, gratifying is not even the word, because it was just so much, like, love in one area. Mm-hmm. Get to doing what you love to do. Like, I was really prepared for it, like, practicing and things like that. So, really being able to do it and do something well and incorporating other aspects. Being surrounded by people that you love to, like, my family was able to come, my mm-hmm. friends. It was just so much fun. Like, I would replay that over and over.
That's sick.
And I will say you're a great performer, by the way.
Thank you. I was definitely nervous.
Yeah. One thing that that I love to do is I love to hear people's music and then see if it compares to them in person. That is my favorite. My favorite thing to do now, because I'm telling you, if most of the time people sound better in person. But you could get some.
You think so? I usually think the other way around.
I feel like, because people surprise me. I'm like, damn, that's true. Like, this is crazy. Like, but you know, you get those people that you like, wow, like, I need to just listen to you. No, like, I need to listen to you on the headphones.
My God.
but you know, it's like, I love that. And like, definitely with your music, you could perform.
That's why I want to make sure, because I was like, I get really, like, it's just specifically with musical things, I would get really nervous. I would get up on the stage, get behind the mic, and all of a sudden, now you sound shaky and you can't sing. And it's just like, I can actually sing in real life, like, not even just, like, in a studio thing. Yeah. So that's all, like, I wanted to make sure that that didn't get surpassed, especially being your first one, because I felt like, this your first real show. Like, if you mess this up, you ain't going to get no other ones.
I feel you. Because I'm telling you, that's everything. But go ahead, bro.
Nah, so you said that was your first show, and I know you just did a girls' night at a Subterranean. So talk more about that. Like, how did, you know, performing at Real Ones and, you know, making these connections and, you know, making friends and relationships, how did that sort of help propel you to now be able to, you know, be a part of, like, you know, girls' night and shows like that?
Yeah, like, I'll really say, once you put yourself out there, that leads you to more opportunities. And that's kind of what I was saying before. Like, if you don't put yourself out there and, like, not put your talent into a closet, how will you acquire more things? So once I did that, that was something where Morgan was a part of that show. She was kind of, like, the head of all of that. So she reached out to me, actually. And so that's how I was able to get on. And it was just really like, oh, do you want to perform at the Subterranean? Have the show come on? I was like, definitely, especially since the girls' night, like, nobody's allowed. Love it. But that was, that experience was very different for me personally, because I just started work, like, my actual full-time job. So I kind of live a double life. Like, I'm here in Montana. I have, like, a wig. Like, I've been doing my school stuff. I got 2 degrees, y'all. Graduated with an MBA. So, like, I'm living this professional life, and I'm also living, like, this musical life. So that was the first day of work that I had. So I, like, had to, it was remote. I work hybrid. So, like, I had to go to work. Oh my God, get dressed, get ready for this show that I had. Got to drive downtown and do all of this stuff. Then can't even stay for the show. I got to leave, go to bed so I can get downtown to go to work early, catch this train. I was like, oh my God, this cannot be my life. Like, but I'm going to do it. And it's just like something because of what you love to do is so you're going to work hard and make sure that it happens no matter what. Plus, it's like I need this work to suffice what I'm trying to do anyway. So.
I feel you, and it's just crazy, you know. I just think it's just crazy that, you know, Planet J was your first project, and just hearing, you know, about the Real One show.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're growing in real time.
We're seeing it right now.
That's what I really was trying to do. Like, even some stuff that I feel like may not have been like the best, but it was the best at what I had during that time. I always encourage people to like still put your stuff out there. Otherwise, you're never gonna like showcase anything when you've like honing on to be perfect. It's just like, you also, I had this advice from a friend too. It's like, you want people to see your growth and your audience to grow with you. And that's definitely 100% of the stuff that's going to happen with me. Like, all those songs on Planet J, like, I wasn't even going to put that stuff out. Like, that stuff was old, and I just felt like everything that I have now is like so much better based off like resources, like finally finding an engineer. Like, I had so much of a problem, like, just finding one that was like meshing well with me, like, just like on a I don't know, like a musical level, so like working, and also like a personal level too. So like, I finally got that. Shout out to Castle, my twin. And yeah, so just that, to like elevate your music as well on like the production side, and just like you growing too, like finally learning more about yourself, like as an artist and as a singer. So like, so much growth.
I feel like we could say a lot about that, about the Ghetto Flower too. Like, we sort of grew over time, and like, we weren't scared to put it out there. We knew it wasn't the best, but it was the best at what we had at the time.
Exactly.
And now looking back, we're like, whoa, like, that was us back then. But it's just beautiful to see it in real time. Like, the people who supported you back then, and, you know, being able to revisit them and have conversations about the past when, you know, you may not have been shit back then, but, you know, you're growing and you're improving. So,
and I love that. And that's like why you guys have the flower. Like, you guys are growing, blooming, you're going to keep redoing it over time.
Exactly. Hell yeah.
And you brought up, you said you're the pin fairy.
Yes.
Like, let's break that down, because I know it has to do with, you know, you you being able to, like, write really well. So, like, mm-hmm. let's get into that.
I would say all throughout my life, I always would, like, come up with these names for myself. I don't know why. Like, in high school, mm-hmm. I used to wear this shirt that said "The Shit's Not You" on it. Why? I don't know. But I still got it. But I would definitely say, because I wanted to, like, do something, like, interesting and cool. But I knew, like, I would... Okay, it's going to sound really bad, but I would definitely feel like I would always pick songwriting over just simply being an artist, just because that's, like, where I really just, like, love. Like, I've been writing since, like, forever, rather than just, like, singing and stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, songwriting is, like, really, like, the main portion for me. So, like, the Pen Fairy, I wanted to put, like, a cool name to it, so I was, like, that part of it. And also, like, when I was talking about, like, my aunt who passed away, she had a tattoo period on her foot. A fairy tattooed on her foot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like, of course, as someone that I'm, like, so close to. So I was like, that's just literally the perfect way to, like, put everything together. Because she's so close to me. Like, writing and music is just, like, my literal heart. So it's just, like, two of my hearts put together into one. And just sprinkling a little fairy magic dust everywhere I go in my music. Because I just felt like every single thing that I write is always going to be magic. Even if it, like, takes time, it's just, like, always going to be so good. And how could I not put a title on it? Because, like, that's what you're married to, and that's what you do.
I feel you. That's Do you have any other nicknames?
I'll just say that. That's how I'm, like, confusing people. I have other nicknames, mm-hmm. but, like, that's the funny thing, too. Like, when I was in college, everyone knew me as, like, Jew or, like, Juju, even in high school, because my middle name is Jubilee. That's what the J stands for.
Oh, really?
So it's just always, like, I'm going from some name to some other name.
But your name is Ania.
Yeah.
Like, and then the J is from running. Your middle name, mm-hmm. for sure. Dope.
I feel you. Yeah, that's dope.
Hell yeah. But now I wanted to get into, like, so you dropped this project, Planet J, in 2022. We're almost at the end of January, so the first month of 2023.
Mm-hmm.
What is, like, the plan? What comes next? You know, more shows, so more visuals, more collaborations.
I've been definitely planning that. I feel like during this time period, I've been working on, like, new music, but I've also just been, like, doing a lot of collaborative stuff and working on my craft overall. So, like, getting my music equipment I got during my time when I was in grad school. So, like, learning how to this is going to be so long of a story, my God. I'm trying to summarize everything. But, like, some things, for example, like, when I didn't have as many, like, resources and stuff I was talking about. So, like, constantly, like, going to the studio to do things that you need other people to do. So, mm-hmm. like, throwing money down the drain over and over and over and over again. So I had to, like, get my own music equipment. And that's something my granddad helped me with, like, the best investment I ever could have made so that I could record at home. So, like, it's really been, like, generating more content because, yeah. like, I didn't have as much content. And all those songs mm-hmm. were what I could only get based off not having beats. So, like, it was really, like, connecting with other people, so, like, other producers, and now, like, I'm getting beat packs sent to me, like, people just want to work with you, so it's pretty, like, not overwhelming, but so fun to, like, be able to, like, finally create and do it myself, learning how to do it as well. So it's really, like, learning, is what I've been doing in that time until now, getting into, like, making new music, learning, really, like, getting back into, like, producing and stuff, because I was kind of doing it when I was, like, younger, but, like, that's when you're younger, so you need to, like, learn how to do it now and, like, get better at it. So I was really, like, trying to do that. That's really what I've pretty much been doing. But, like, this plan, I definitely plan to drop new music. It's what I've been working on. I have, like, content to drop, but it's really been, like, building the content. And I do plan to, like, get a new drop out and, like, generate content for the new drop. But it's a lot of planning and stuff to, like, do with that. Plus, it's, like, everything's financial.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
You gotta invest for real.
That's why I had to get a job. Like, during that whole time period since I graduated in August, I had to, like, get a job. Somehow I was out of work for, like, 6 months, so I didn't have no coin. So I really mm-hmm. couldn't do too much, is what I'm saying. So it's really just like building yourself up to do the plans.
No.
Feel you.
Hell yeah.
Planning, and you're definitely gonna prosper from planning.
Hell yeah.
I will definitely tell you that. But I think we're going to end it on that note. We definitely appreciate you sliding, and we appreciate just your body of work and just everything that you're continuing to do.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you for having me. This was so fun.
Of course.
This is my first podcast.
Hey, glad it was with us.
No problem.
So I have a question for y'all.
For sure.
But, so, who is your favorite? You can pick either artist for rap or R&B. Who would you say you first?
My favorite. Right now?
Uh-huh. Or who would you pick?
My favorite artist right now.
That's my favorite artist right now.
Yeah.
I'm really caught me off guard. Yeah, I'm going to say something really random. It's because okay. Because I am such a super fan of this dude, Pierre Bourne.
And I love him. Did you go to his concert?
No. Wait, the last one?
I think he had two, but it was, where was that last one at? I went to one. I don't remember where it was. Oh, the House of Blues.
That's no, I didn't go. No. The last one I went to, he was with Lil Tecca. It was him and Lil Tecca. It was like 2019, I think, or something like that. But that's the one I went to. But yeah, I love Pierre Bourne. What about you, Tayo?
Yo, so I just have to go through my album music.
You gonna say Babyface or some shit?
I was gonna say Babyface Ray. Or like
I'm listening to the real Babyface.
Nah, not the R&B. Yeah, I was probably say my favorite rapper right now is probably Babyface Ray from Detroit.
So you like Detroit rappers?
I like Detroit rappers. I like that flow. I don't know. It's kind of motivational to me.
Uh-huh. Yeah, they like some real getting money type. Yeah, he broke exactly. The home type of rap.
Yeah, there's dip. Like I do like Detroit rap, but I feel like some of it's like repetitive. It kind of reminds me of it LA. Is. That LA.
Some of them sound the same. You know what I'm saying? Definitely. Yeah.
It's like the little flow.
It's
like the flow.
It's the flow.
It's the flow.
Make you want to do a little dance.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. But I knew you was gonna say baby.
I can see that though, because like you're like you got the hustler mentality, trying to get it, motivating.
You be listening to shit 24/7, huh?
Bro, when I'm locked in, it's probably Babyface or Vezo.
That's what people need to listen to.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but like on a Chicago tip, y'all already know, like Sonny, Flex, you know, V, you know.
See, y'all gotta put me on. I don't even know who these people are.
You gotta watch the podcast.
You're right.
Yeah, we'll put you on. We'll definitely put you on. But we appreciate you sliding once again. Fresh Flowers Podcast. We out.